All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord in this place. I pray, Father, that you would help me tonight, Lord, to speak words that are not soon forgotten, but, Lord, words that will impact the hearts and lives of your people. I ask, Father, for your help. I ask for your power, and I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, the last several times that I spoke on a Wednesday night, we talked about prayer, and I just feel like God is not through talking to us about that. And so we're going to talk about prayer again tonight. You know, it's really fun to listen to children pray. They have such remarkable faith sometimes. And then at the same time, you know, they're still children, and they can pray really silly prayers sometimes. But here's some children's letters to God. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Yeah. Dear God, it rained for our whole vacation, and my father is mad. He said some things about you that people are not supposed to say, but I hope you will not hurt him anyway. Your friend. But I'm not going to tell you who I am. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let me be Mary Horton because I hate her. Wow. Dear God, if you give me a genie like Aladdin, I will give you anything you want except my money or chess set. Wow, chess set. This must have been a few years back. We read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school, they said you did. I bet he stole your idea. Yeah. Kids are great. You can learn a lot from a kid out of the mouths of babes. Amen. And how we need that childlike faith that they have. But you know what? We ought to be learning and growing in our prayer life. I'm not talking about learning to pray pretty. I'm not talking about flowery. I'm not talking about 16th century English with all the these and thous. But I'm talking about that we need to be learning and growing in both our consistency in prayer and in our faith in prayer, learning to trust God more and believe him more. There is great power in prayer. Now, the power is not actually directly in the prayer. Who has the power? Well, we know who has the power, right? It's in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." In Psalm 62 and 11, it says, "God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God." And I can tell you this, that he is all powerful. He has all the power. Now, he allows others to have a measure of power at times, but I'm telling you, ultimately, God controls all the power. So if we want power, guess where it's going to come from? It's going to come from God. And the only way that we can get power from God is through prayer. Amen. We have to ask. R.A. Torrey said, if we're too busy to pray, we're too busy to have power. If we lack power, we lack prayer. If we lack prayer, we lack power. Now, I don't know how you are about remembering what people say in a message, but I kind of remember almost everything. And if you're like, hey, didn't you say that 3 weeks ago? Yes, I did. How many of you were thinking, didn't you say that 3 weeks ago? Sometimes we need to hear it more than once, though. And I'm just telling you, This is the key to us having power in our life. Power comes as we pray. You see, prayer changes things because the all-powerful responds to prayers prayed in faith. The sovereign Lord of all creation has all the power. He can do anything. And yet he chooses to wait until somebody prays. And I've said it before, but it needs to be said. People say things like, religious people, America is so religious. Make no mistake about it. I'm talking about millions and millions of people that don't even go to church, but they're very religious in their own way. They'll say, oh, I'm not religious. I'm just spiritual, but they're very religious. And religious America says things like, why does God allow that to happen? Or why doesn't God do this? Well, you know, and they somehow in their mind, it's like, if I was God, you know, I know what I'd do. Listen, God knows what to do. He waits for people to pray. This is how God has chosen to work in this world. Is that we have not because we ask not. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. This is what the Bible says. Jesus taught us to pray. Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody has to pray. And the power comes when we pray. If we believe that prayer will bring God's power into our lives and into our world, I'm telling you, we'll pray. The reason people don't pray is not because they're busy. That is ridiculous. The reason people don't pray is not because they are too carnal, although we could argue that point, that it goes right along with this. The reason people don't pray is because they don't believe that it will make a difference. Because no matter how busy you are, no matter how carnal you might be, if you believe that when you pray, that God will move, you'll find time to pray. You probably won't be carnal very long. But without prayer and without God's power, here's the scary thing. All we have is a religion that we can't live up to. We don't have the power to live up to it. We don't have the strength. I'm telling you, without God's power in our life, we just got a religion that's like the rest of them. We got to pray. We got to have His power. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And we talked about that verse a few weeks ago, but I just got to tell you, listen, if we believe that prayer makes the difference, that prayer brings God's power, then we will pray all the time. We'll be looking for opportunities to pray. I like this little story. It's about an old comedy act before many of our time. In fact, I think this one was even before my time, so it was a long time ago. George Burns and Gracie Allen. And they say that in real life, Gracie Allen was a talented businesswoman, but she always played this naive, off-the-wall, simple person. And in one of their radio programs, she became very upset because her new electric clock was always losing time. It never kept up, never kept time. Each day it lost lots of time. And so she finally called a repairman, and as soon as he saw the clock, he knew what was wrong. He said, there's nothing wrong with the clock. It's just not plugged in. She said, well, I know that, but I didn't want to waste electricity. So I only plug it in when I need to know what time it is. And I got to tell you, that is about as smart as the way a lot of Christians handle prayer. They don't ever pray. But wait a minute, I got a need. Or something came up. I'm going to pray about this and I'm going to plug in. You know, it doesn't work like that preacher said. What's up with that? I'm telling you, we need to be a people of prayer. Listen, like Bob said, I appreciated that, Bob. You're not driving through McDonald's. Hey, God, I'll take this and I'll take one of those and that. You'll pull up to the window and guess what? Your order ain't ready. No, that's not prayer. That's not the way it's supposed to work. We need to be a people of prayer, praying all the time and expecting and believing for God's will to be done. Not just what we want, but believing God for His will to be done in this earth. He is sovereign God, and yet He's waiting for somebody to pray. Praying in faith brings God's power into our lives, our situation. Brings God's power into our family, our home. Anybody need that? Praying in faith brings God's power into the workplace, into the school. Praying in faith brings God's power into ministry, into the church. Praying in faith brings God's power into our city, our country, our world, all around us every day. I'm telling you, there are opportunities for us to bring God's power into our world. He waits for somebody to ask in faith. Pray it in faith. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's very powerful. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. The earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. See, there's power that's available to a righteous man. That's not talking about the spiritual elite. Aren't you glad? It's not talking about the perfect man. You know, the one that's flawless and faultless. No, it is talking about those who are right with God. Who's right with God? Well, those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus and are serving the Lord. I'm telling you, listen, we're righteous by faith. Not by, well, I went to church this week, so I'm doing pretty good. No, we're righteous because our faith is in Jesus and what He did for us on the cross, that He paid the price. So this verse of Scripture is talking about us. That our prayers can be effective. They can be powerful. Jesus is always our example. I want to remind you that before Jesus ever began His ministry, He spent 40 days in fasting and prayer. Wow, 40 days. That's a good way to start a ministry. 40 days. That's a lot of praying and a whole lot of not eating. You know, Jesus walked this earth as a man. He was God, but He let go of all of that and came here as a man. And as He walked this earth, he walked this earth as a Spirit-filled man. And it was the Spirit that led Him into the wilderness. And man, when He came out, what power He had. Such power. Jesus ministered to the people. And you need to understand this, that the power of God was upon Him, but He was also a man. Luke 5, 15 and 16, it says, the report went around concerning Him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. So He Himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I'm telling you, the demands of ministry demanded that he withdraw and go out to the wilderness somewhere and pray. He's our example. I want to tell you something. You might think that you got a lot of responsibilities as the man of the house. Well, let me tell you something. You can be a much better husband, father, grandfather, if you spend that time in prayer. You get alone with God. You can be a much better mother and wife, grandmother. You get alone with God. You see, you say, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. Listen, nobody had more responsibilities than Jesus. But he withdrew and found a place to pray. You know why? Because he needed power. So if you don't need any help from God, if you just think, well, I got this, I guess you don't need to pray. I'm being sarcastic. I hope you know that. But Jesus prayed. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he fought the battle of the ages. I want to tell you, that's where that battle was really fought, is when he's in the garden, as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. It was in prayer. He also told the disciples to pray then too, didn't he? In Matthew 26:41, he said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So we're talking about prayer, and we're talking about the power of prayer. You see, prayer brings a power to overcome our weakness. Think about the disciples and what they were just about to go through. I mean, their Lord, the one that they had been with for 3 years, was about to be taken from them and crucified. It was going to be a very, very dark time. I mean, it was going to be something that they couldn't even have imagined, that it would be this bad, that it would go this way. And Jesus tells them, pray so that you don't fall into temptation. You see, the answer for them to be able to be strong was for them to pray. Why do we think it's any different for us? If we're going to be strong in this world, we got to pray. That's the source of our power. Jesus knew that they were going to have a great battle. You're going to have some battles. How are you going to be ready? Pray. That's where your power comes from. And I got to tell you, when people are in the midst of the battle, I'm not telling you not to pray in the midst of the battle. Certainly you should. But I'm just telling you, when you're right in the thick of the battle and you hadn't prayed, you're not prayed up, man, it's hard. So much better when you're prayed up and you're ready. You know, prayer doesn't always change the circumstances. Anybody want to say amen to that? We know. Sometimes it is through prayer that we find the strength that we need to get through the battle, to get through the circumstances. It's how we overcome temptation. Jesus even made it part of the Lord's Prayer. We're to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's in prayer that we confess our weaknesses, our faults to him, and we ask for his help. See, when we don't pray, either it is because we think God won't answer, or it's because we don't think we need to. We think we got this. And I just want to remind you that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And any time that we think that we're strong in this area, we got this, and you know, I'm telling you, if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he falls. That's what the word says. No, we always need God's help. But a lot of us, we know. We know that we have weaknesses. We know that we struggle in a certain area. Let me tell you the answer. Prayer. Not so that you yourself can become independently strong, but it is through prayer that you will find God's power in your life to overcome your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, God says to Paul, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." In other words, he displays his power, his strength in our weakness. Paul says, "I will gladly boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me." You see, we don't say, we don't boast, "Hey, I can do this, I can do that." But instead, we say on our own, "I can't do it, but I'm not on my own." Amen? We got God's power because we've prayed. Every problem, every struggle, every weakness in your life is an opportunity for you to pray and believe God for His help, for His power. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, He gives power to the weak. "Oh, that's me, Lord. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I'm telling you, prayer is the key to a victorious life, because you can't do it on your own. Prayer brings the power to minister to others. Now, we already talked about the Lord Jesus pulling away from the crowd and going into the wilderness to pray. He had to recharge. And I'm just telling you that that's where our power comes from, is from prayer. Well, it started on the day of Pentecost. Jesus told them in Acts 1:8, He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And then in Acts 1:14, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." They were praying. They were seeking God. And the power came. And I got to tell you, it's still that way. Now, we could talk specifically tonight about the power of the Holy Spirit, but that's another whole message. But I just want to tell you, though, that whether you have received the fullness of the Spirit or not, listen, you're not going to have power if you don't pray. We got to be a people of prayer. If we want to impact this world, if we want to make a difference, we got to pray. See, how are we going to get the job done? I know we need more workers. Oh, how we need more workers. Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few." But He doesn't say there's nothing we can do about it. He says, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into this field. What's the answer? Pray. In John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Boy, isn't that the truth? It's only as we abide in Jesus. "If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." See, we're supposed to be bearing fruit, but the only way we can minister to other people, the only way we can really have something to give, is if we've been with Him. Jesus was always ready to minister to other people. And you know what? We need to be ready too. And that only happens with prayer. I want to remind you once again of the story of the man who brings his son to Jesus, or to the disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus did. He told them, "You have little faith." And then He cast the demon out and He said this. He said, "This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting." The disciples weren't ready. I guess a lot of times I'm not ready. How about you? But Jesus was ready. And I'm just saying, if we're going to be ready for whatever ministry needs arise, you know, we need to be prayed up. Prayer brings us power over our enemy. See, prayer's how we fight the forces of darkness. It's how we fight for others. Luke 22, 31 and 32, Jesus tells Peter, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. See, that's how we fight for our loved ones. It's in prayer. I want to tell you something. Listen, complaining never changed anything for the better. Well, I know you shouldn't use absolutes. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somehow, somewhere it did. I don't know. But I do know this, that complaining never got a good response from God. Ever, ever, ever. Absolute. And you can complain and you can talk to other people about your spouse, your parents, your kids. Won't change anything. But when you pray, there's power. Oh, you, how prayer can make the difference, because prayer brings God's power. Prayer is how we turn back the tide of darkness. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You know what? I'm not going to take a long time here, but I'm just telling you, most people spend way, way, way more time wrestling against flesh and blood than they do praying. But we wrestle against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness, or spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then he goes into all the armor of God. And don't have time to talk about all the armor of God tonight. I just want to drop down to verses 18 and 19. But he says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this, to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So you catch that word perseverance in there? See, we're just supposed to stay after it. Just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. So, well, I hadn't seen anything change. Stand in faith and believe and keep praying and keep praying. Persevere with all supplication for all the saints. And get this, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Have you prayed for the pastor this week? Did you pray for him today before you came to church and pray that he'd have something worthwhile to say? Because if you didn't, well, shame on you, because these other people were hoping for something good tonight. I'm just telling you, if the Apostle Paul needed people to pray for his preaching, do you think I do? I'm telling you the truth when I tell you, even the guy who is so charismatic and funny and gifted speaker, I'm telling you the truth, without God's power, he's just talk. Gotta have God's anointing and power, and that only comes because we prayed. Prayer brings power to change our world. I want to tell you, prayer can change the circumstance. It's how the church gets the job done. It's by prayer, as we can't do anything apart from him. I want to challenge you tonight to make prayer a part of your daily routine, that no matter what it takes, that you pray. Even when there's no problem in your life, maybe it's just a mundane day, there's always an opportunity for you to reach out by faith and believe God to move in our world. We're going to go back to James chapter 5. We read that verse earlier, verse 16. I want to go on to verse 17 and 18. It's talking about Elijah, and it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, hey, he was just like one of us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, why did this happen? Listen, Elijah wasn't just playing with the weather. He wasn't playing games. And I just got to tell you, some people play games with prayer. I'm serious. I mean, they pray. You know, Elijah wasn't saying, hey, God, you know, send me a really nice chariot. I like to have the nicest chariot in the land so I can outrun Ahab's horses. Now, some of you know the story, right? That ain't how he outran them. No, the power of God came on him. But I'm just telling you this, though. He didn't pray his silly, frivolous prayers like people pray today. He was praying for the revival of a nation. Listen, we think that our nation has gone down the tube. Let me tell you something. These people were worshiping false idols. The people of God were worshiping idols. This was his prayer, because this is what it took. It's kind of a scary thing, and I doubt I'm going to get too many people to get on board with me here and get in agreement with me here, but you know what it was? It was whatever it takes, God, to bring revival to our land. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I just want to just kind of get the picture in your mind here. Oh, yeah, 3.5 years of no rain. Wow, that sounds pretty rough. Listen, you're talking about an agrarian society where their total, complete financial system was based on their harvest and their crops and their flocks and their herds. 3.5 years was devastated. But he was praying for the revival of a nation. And I'm just telling you that God can do that in our day, in our time, if we really pray. God can do anything. Can we believe him? All things are possible to him who believes. I love this passage from Leonard Ravenhill's book, Why Revival Tarries. I would recommend that you not read it unless you want to get messed up, because he says things that will stir you and change you. But he said, no man is greater than his prayer life. Wow. Just that one phrase, that one sentence right there is enough to mess you up. No man is greater than his prayer life. I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care what you can bench press. No man is greater than his prayer life. If we're not praying, this is what he says. He says, if we're not praying, we're playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Man singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many riders, few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. How we need prayer, church. We cannot leave off the most important thing that we ever do as a Christian, as a parent, as a husband, a wife, as a church member. I'm going to just leave you with this one last story. A missionary witnessed a mighty miracle in Thailand. He was working with some of the villagers, and that area was having a terrible grasshopper plague that was just devastating their crop of rice. And the leader of the village says to the missionary, he says, "You go back home and you get your Christians to pray for 3 weeks." And he says, "If the grasshoppers leave the fields of the Christians here, well, then we'll know that your God is real. But if not, then we'll know that it's not real." So he went home for 3 weeks. He got people to pray and challenged people to pray in Jesus' name. Man, did they pray. And so when he went back to Thailand and they went to the Christians' fields, guess what? There were more grasshoppers than before. But then they noticed something that was happening. In the Christians' fields, the grasshoppers were only eating weeds. And in the other fields, they were consuming the harvest. I'm just telling you, God doesn't always do things the way we tell Him to. I'll just throw this in. There's a little bit of scriptural evidence that you see that Elijah, when he prayed it wouldn't rain, he was doing what God told him to do. I'll have to leave that for another time, but I'm just telling you, when we pray according to the will of God, how God moves, we have confidence that He hears us and that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you, don't be afraid to stand in faith and to believe God. He can change our nation. He can change our government, our situation. I'm just telling you, don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in God and believe Him. He absolutely can do it. It is the most powerful thing that we ever do in our life is to pray, because it brings God's power. The possibilities are limitless because all things are possible to him that believes. When we pray, we are praying to the one who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Pray. Oh, pray for people. Pray for people to be healed. Pray for people to be saved. Pray for the backslider to come home. Pray for our country. Oh, pray for Hollywood. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Don't curse them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you have given us this great privilege of prayer. Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, move us and stir us, Lord, to be a people of prayer. Oh, Father, if we fail to do anything else, Lord, that we will not fail to pray. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are stirring, that you are moving. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would begin something in us tonight, Lord, that will grow and grow and grow. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to let you go. Some of you say, I don't know what I can do. I don't have much talent. I don't have much ability. I don't know what I can do. I'm going to tell you one thing you can do. Pray, pray, pray. Amen. Lord bless you.